Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Houseboat Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On October 1st, 2012, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Lozman v. City of Riviera Beach, Florida. This case considers whether a floating home that was unable to navigate and indefinitely attached to a dock constitutes a vessel and would be subject, therefore, to federal maritime law. Although the city has since obtained a court order requiring the sale of the home due to non-payment of bills for city services and then purchased it at the subsequent auction, the disposition of a $25,000 bond the city posted in the course of the litigation remains in question. To discuss the case, we have Rod Sullivan, who is an assistant professor at Florida Coastal School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Sullivan.
This is Professor Rod Sullivan at Florida Coastal School of Law. A little background on me. I practiced maritime law for 28 years, board certified in admiralty and maritime law, and I've argued a maritime case before the United States Supreme Court. So I'm here to comment on the case of Lozman versus the City of Riviera Beach. Now, this case revolves around a statute that was drafted in 1871. Which contains a definition for the word vessel. And the statute says, the word vessel includes every description of watercraft or other artificial contrivance used or capable of being used as a means of transportation on the water. Now, as you can tell, that is a very broad congressional definition of the term vessel. And the question that arises here is Fane Lozman's houseboat a vessel? And the practical implication for Mr. Lozman is, if it is a vessel, then it can be arrested using admiralty and maritime process, and it can be sold to satisfy his debts. And if it's not a vessel, then it can't be arrested under admiralty law, and it has to go through the state court system. What Fane Lozman's attorneys have asked is that the word purpose be included or imposed or implied in the definition of the word. Now remember, the word says watercraft. We all know what I think a watercraft is. It's a craft designed for being used as a means of transportation on the water. Or other artificial contrivance. And then the words used or capable of being used as a means of transportation. And what Lozman would like to have incorporated in there is a vessel, something that has the purpose of being used or capable of being used as a means of transportation. The practical implications are really substantial. One of the most interested groups of people who filed an amicus brief were the casino boat owners. There are 61 floating casinos out there, and their concern is that if their floating casinos were to be classed as vessels, they might in fact be regulated by the United States Coast Guard. They might require licensed officers and licensed crew members. They might require specialized lighting. They would be inspected by the Coast Guard. For employment purposes, they're concerned that their employees would be seamen instead of ordinary workers. And the amount of compensation that a seaman gets if the seaman is injured in the course of his or her employment is a lot more than you get under workers' comp. They're concerned about crew wage claims. If they don't pay a casino dealer his wages, he has a right to sue for back wages. If they don't pay a crew member their wages, well, that crew member is entitled to 2 days' wages for every day that the wages are withheld. That's a substantial difference as well. The next practical implication is whether or not maritime liens can attach to the object, the structure. If the structure is a vessel, a maritime lien attaches simply by virtue of having done work on it. If you go and you are an engine repairman and you do work on a vessel, and the owner doesn't pay, you can seize that vessel. It's a secret lien. You can sell it and use the proceeds to pay your claim. Whereas in land-based law, you can't do that. You have a right to maybe a mechanics lien, but you don't have the right to go out and seize any property until you've got a judgment. The most, in my opinion, practical implications of these decisions, though, are resolving around the issue of salvage. If you have floating objects out there that are not vessels, and a hurricane comes through and sinks them, if they're vessels, a salver can go out, raise the vessel, preserve the property, and assert a claim against a vessel. If it's not a vessel, if it's simply a floating structure, there is no right of salvage, and therefore there's no inducement for anybody to go out there and save these things that are floating. and they don't have any much in the way of value, or if the owners are otherwise insolvent, the owners can simply allow them to break away, become hazards to navigation, block docks and waterways, and therefore they will not be removed. So that's another practical implication of this. Now, in the oral argument in this case, the court had to consider numerous categories of floating objects. And I would suggest to you that some of these actually could be fairly easily done away with. Justice Roberts asked, well, what about inner tubes? Is an inner tube a vessel under this statute? Well, it's certainly not a watercraft because it was never designed to transport anybody. And it's really not capable of being used as a means of transportation. So an inner tube under the current definition is a pretty clearly not a vessel. What about a surfboard? Well, a surfboard, again, it's a recreational device, and it's really not designed to provide a means of transportation. Now, if you put a sail on it, it becomes a different animal. Then it can actually go into navigation. But a surfboard in and of itself is not a vessel. And what about water skis? The same thing. Water skis, you need to be pulled behind a boat. You need to get up on them, and they're not vessels for that reason. Next, we get on to the question raised by Justice Sotomayor. What about floating debris? If there's a log floating in a waterway and it's got nails in it, isn't it providing transportation for those nails? Well, I would suggest to you that a floating log is not a watercraft, and it's not capable of being used as a means of transportation on the water, and therefore a floating log could never be a vessel. And a floating garage door is the same. And she said, what if you were to tape some quarters to it? Could it be used as a means of transportation? The answer is no. Simply because it floats and it can carry other objects doesn't mean that it's a watercraft or a contrivance capable of being used as a means for transportation. Well, how about if we get some closer questions? We get next to the question of work platforms. For example, dry docks. Dry docks float. They sink. Other vessels get floated onto dry docks, and the dry docks are refloated and used as a work platform for repairing ships and boats. Are they vessels? Well, the Supreme Court decided a long time ago that since a dry dock was not designed for the purpose of providing transportation, that it was not a vessel and therefore could not be salvaged. How about a barge that's withdrawn from navigation, that's being used as offices, that's being used as a warehouse? Is that a vessel? The court, again, had decided that issue in the past. Since it had been withdrawn from navigation, it was no longer practically capable of being used as a means of transportation, and it was not a vessel. What's the difference then? And then finally, we get up to this question of floating homes. Now, Mr. Lozman claims that his boat is a houseboat, and it's a floating home, and therefore should not be considered to be a vessel. However, his floating home did, in fact, make substantial sea voyages from place to place for the purpose of relocating. It had no substantial attachment to the shore. It was tied with lines. It had a hose that supplied water. It had an extension cord which supplied power. But nothing had withdrawn it from navigation. It had just sat in the same place for a long period of time. And Lozman's argument is that it was not a vessel because it was not designed for the purpose of providing transportation. It was designed for the purpose of providing housing. But it's very difficult to distinguish between that and a houseboat that is, in fact, has a raked bow, has an engine, and is used for the purpose of recreation, traveling, taking people up and down rivers and lakes for the purpose of transportation. So where's the distinction? Well, if the object can freely move from place to place, it has the capability of leaving workers and creditors stranded. If Mr. Lozman was to rack up a big bill, which is what he did in Riviera Beach, and not pay it, which is what he did in Riviera Beach, there's nothing that keeps him from coming in the middle of the night, strapping a motorboat onto his floating house, and taking it not only someplace in the state of Florida, but to another state to avoid creditors. That's a very important, I think, distinction between vessels and non-vessels. Second thing is that vessels, boats, deteriorate constantly, and they become burdens on their owners, and they can sink in place. And therefore, something like Mr. Lozman's houseboat is subject to constantly declining in value, and therefore requires constant upkeep, which makes it more like a vessel than a non-vessel. What about, for example, the Sausalito and Seattle floating homes? Aren't they subject to the same thing? Well, they're really not. They are secured firmly to the shore. They are incapable of being quickly and easily moved from one place to another. They are designed not to be used as a means of transportation, but rather to float in one place and rise and fall with the tides, and therefore that separates them from vessels. The mere fact that they float doesn't make them a vessel. And as we talked about before, there's this distinction between whether or not the object can be salvaged or not. So the question is there a practical capability of transportation, or was it ever designed for transportation in the first place? Floating homes, like those in Sausalito and those in Seattle, were never designed for transportation. They might be manufactured to be floated into place. They might be floated into place for the purpose of extending or creating man-made real estate on which people can live, but they were never intended to be moved from place to place as a houseboat. They were intended to come to one place, sit there, and be at home. Mr. Lozman's boat, I would suggest to you, was intended to be a floating home that moved from location to location. Therefore, it is a vessel where the houseboats in Sausalito and Seattle are not. Finally, we get to this question of whether or not it had been withdrawn from navigation. And by withdrawn from navigation, I mean it, have its navigational capabilities been disabled. If you go on the Queen Mary in Los Angeles, it is, I believe, sitting in concrete. It is not rising and falling with the tides. It cannot practically be used as a means of transportation because it's been withdrawn from navigation. In the case of the barge that we talked about that was turned into a floating warehouse, while it could be detached from the shore and moved from place to place, the fact that it had now offices on board, that it was warehouse space, practically took that barge out of navigation. It had been withdrawn from navigation and couldn't readily go back to being a vessel again. Now, surprisingly, this case, which in my opinion is not a really juicy constitutional issue, broke down along constitutional arguments as far as how the decision is going to come down. The textualists, Justices Scalia and Alito, basically said, look, this is what the statute says. Congress has resolved this question for us to a factual issue. Is it a watercraft? Is it an artificial contrivance? Is it used or capable of being used as a means of transportation on the water? If you answer those questions yes, you have a vessel. If you answer those questions no, it wasn't a watercraft or it's not an artificial contrivance capable of being used, then it's not. And we don't need to add this word purpose or purposefully designed to be a vessel into the statute. Then we come with the purposivists. We have Justices Breyer, Kagan, and I believe Justice Sotomayor on the side of, well, we really ought to look at what the purpose of the statute is. And if we're going to look at the purpose of the statute, we need to look at the purpose of the floating object. And therefore, we ought to imply this word purpose into the statute in order to make it comply with what we think Congress intended to do. And then you ask yourself the question, in 1871, were there floating homes? Clearly there were. Were there people who took vessels and withdrew them from navigation and made them homes? Clearly there were. So I think that Congress intentionally drafted this statute very broadly, and that therefore the purpose of the statute is to broadly encompass anything that can be moved someplace to avoid creditors, that should be subject to salvage because it's subject to the hazards of the ocean, and therefore salvage should come into play when it sinks, and that we want the broadest possible application of this title vessel to apply to floating objects. Will there be a dissenting opinion in this case? I don't know. I mean, 45% of the decisions under the Roberts courts are unanimous decisions. Should this be a unanimous decision? I think it should be, but the bench was so hot. I mean, quite frankly, it surprised me, the level of questioning. And therefore, it almost leads me to believe that this will not be a decision without a dissent. If I was going to predict how it came out, of course, Justice Thomas didn't ask any questions. But Justice Thomas has also written the case most recently which defined what the term vessel is. And I would think that being the expert on this particular question, that if Justice Thomas is in the majority, he would be asked to write the majority opinion. And that even if he's in the minority, my guess is he might write a dissenting opinion. If it comes out that the word purpose is to be implied into the statute, who do I think might write the opinion? My money would be on Justice Kagan. This is not a groundbreaking opinion, which I think Justice Breyer is going to want to spend his time on, or maybe Justice Sotomayor. Of course, I have a difficulty predicting how her vote is going to come out. But I anxiously wait the result. I sit here amazed after practicing law in this area for so long that this particular issue has gained so much interest both with the community and with the justices, and therefore I'm very hopeful that we will see a very interesting opinion come out of the court. Thanks again. This has been Rod Sullivan. It's been my pleasure to speak to you on this podcast, and I hope that you have found it somewhat useful.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.